I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The Burt Show.
Is it me or does time stand still for you guys when you're waiting for your Uber Eats order to arrive?
Oh my gosh. I feel like it's been 6:58 for the last 2 hours.
We ordered Chick-fil-A earlier this morning and we will age out before it gets here. Even though, and I'm looking at my Uber Eats all, just where's he at now?
What does the tracker say?
Yeah. Where are we at now?
Because now I'm curious. I wasn't thinking about it until now.
Oh, it's here early. It's downstairs.
Oh, yay! Someone go get it.
We knew this. We've already got an intern on the way. It may already be up here.
Sprint.
Do you want to go ahead and go straight to commercials so you can get your grab?
The worst is when it gaslights you and you're like, wait, I thought this was supposed to be here at like 23 minutes past and now it's saying 33 minutes and they keep bumping the time, but they never tell you they bumped the time.
Right. Evil. Pure evil is what that is. All right. We continue 100 days of Good Goes Round today and all they want to do is honor Dad.
The Burt Show's 100 days of Good Goes Round.
So for 100 straight days, we are doing acts of kindness. Big ways, small ways. Yesterday's was really, really touching. And we got to meet the graduate yesterday.
Maya came down. So it was Maya's mom that hit us up. She went to theburtshow.com and she filled out an application for the 100 Days of Good Goes Round. And her daughter is the first woman in their family to graduate from college. This was very important. She is a Hispanic woman and she was like, I'm so proud of my daughter for being the first Hispanic woman in our family to graduate from college. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could just feel how proud she was through the phone. It was beautiful. And then she told us that her daughter had been busting her butt and had been applying for multiple jobs and doing multiple interviews since this past December. And she just got hired. And lo and behold, it's in the same building as us. She's on the 7th floor. We're on the 5th. Like, what are the odds? It was honestly so kismet. So she was looking for a DJ for her daughter's graduation party this weekend. Our resident DJ, DJ Willie T, a.k.a. Tommy Owen. There you go. He is going to be DJing her graduation party this weekend just to, like, you know, make it even bigger and badder and better. So we told her mom, because she was on the phone with us, hey, tell Maya to pop on down and say hey. And sure enough, after the show, Maya popped on down and she said hey.
She's great. So congratulations to her. All right, so I got this wrong. He's not a dad. She just wants to honor her, like, the greatest husband ever. Good morning, Jessica. You are on The Burt Show. How can we help you out?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I was just like, we don't have any kids yet, but he does have a lot of kids in a certain way. So I'm a huge P1. I just want to say that to start
Thank
with.
Thank you.
And
appreciate
that
you.
I really, yeah, I love the show. It's a light to my day. I listen every single day to the podcast, and I really realized that friendship is a one-way street where you guys have no idea you're all my friends, but you are.
Thank you.
And so my husband, Alan, he's a teacher and he's the boys varsity soccer coach at Woodland High School in Stockbridge. He just finished his first year there. And before that, he was a teacher at Archer High School in Lawrenceville for about 7 years. He was JV coach, worked his way to varsity coach, and really just did a lot of great things with that program and with their AP program. So all the kids call him Rack, which is really fun because I know our last name is a huge mouthful. We love to joke that calling me Rack would mean just an entirely different thing.
It would. You are correct.
Yep.
Right. So it would be fun, but, you know, probably in a different way. He really loves all of his students, though, and his players. Like, it is his passion. He spends way more time doing work than most people do and putting in those extra hours. You know, during school breaks and things, he'll set up scrimmages with his soccer team just to make sure that they have a chance to play. They have a chance to get together to build that community. A lot of people don't realize that the kids really need that, that they need the extra time together, and that sometimes over breaks like summer break and fall break and stuff, they don't really get to see each other as much as you might think that they do. So it really helps them. He's actually in Salt Lake City right now grading AP papers. So if you don't know the way AP papers work, whenever you take an AP class or like a test, they ship those off to a weird random state and then have people go there and grade them for a couple weeks so that there's no bias on them or anything. But if that tells you how much he just really seems to love student papers.
Wow, I had no idea they did that.
I didn't either. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really odd because it's like, that's a big effort, but, you know, they want to keep it really fair, so it's good. And he has a good time there. It makes us a little bit extra money, which is always a win-win because obviously teachers don't get paid quite what they should. But I miss him a lot. The pets miss him a lot. I've been letting one of our dogs sleep in our bed, which we don't normally do. And so that's going to be a really fun surprise when he gets home. But it's fine. You know, on his pillow and everything, but he'll love that. It'll be great. So he really does everything that he can to help provide for our family. You know, he's always there for me, for our friends, for his parents, his mom, and all of his siblings. He's just really the kind of person that can talk to anyone. You know, he works really, really hard and just doesn't get a lot in return for that work. You know, teaching is really rewarding, but monetarily, not so much.
Right.
Yeah, and Jessica, I know you want to do something special to acknowledge him, but all the disposable income you guys have just went to a new roof and an AC unit, so you don't really have any money to splurge on him to show him how much you care and how much you want to show your appreciation for all he does.
Right. Our roof has been leaking into our house for the last, 6 months, so we finally had to bite the bullet on that when it got really bad, replace that. And the AC, I actually have multiple sclerosis. So our AC went out within the same 2 months. And with MS, you get a lot of symptoms that flare up and you just feel kind of terrible with heat. Most people do. So for me, that was kind of like a non-negotiable. So both sides of our family actually had to help us with the money for those things because insurance, of course, didn't cover the roof or anything. So it was entirely out of pocket and just kind of like a huge non-expected expense.
Sure.
But we're really blessed in a lot of ways. It's just that I want to give him something special to show him how loved and appreciated he is. I really don't know how I would have gone through my MS diagnosis or honestly just daily life the past 12 years without him. He really cheers me on in anything I do. He deals with all of my weird. He deals with all of my special stuff that I need because of my MS and just because of who I am as a person. And he's a huge soccer fan. So I know I said he coaches, you know, he did JV to varsity. He also watches games pretty much constantly. And it can be any team, but he loves Atlanta United. He loves wearing jerseys out to wherever we go, whether that's a nice place that a jersey's a little weird. I heard you guys talking about jerseys yesterday, too, and it made me laugh. And I was like, yeah, that's my husband.
I will tell you, the soccer jersey's different for me than baseball jersey.
It is?
Yeah.
Because it looks like a shirt.
Yeah. Right? Anyway, go ahead.
Well, but, you know, soccer's just something we're always talking about. He's always checking the scores on his phone. And he's really special to me. I know you guys are big supporters of Atlanta United. Bert, we got to see you drive the Golden Spike in recently, which was really, really cool. And you did a really amazing job.
Thank you. I'm still sore from lifting that 175-pound hammer up and spiking. Yeah, I'm still sore from it. But thanks for being there. It was a thrill.
Yeah. So I'm just hoping that you guys might be able to help us so that I can show him how appreciated that he really is. And how much other people can see the value in, you know, him being a teacher and everything that he does. for his students and his community and just help us with something that's a little nicer than the nosebleeds that we could afford right now.
Okay, this one's going to be a slam dunk right here because probably our strongest relationship in Atlanta is with Atlanta United. We're community partners with these guys, and anytime we call, they pick up on the half ring and they're like, whatever it is you need, we got you. So today we definitely got you.
Yeah, and a big shout out to Maggie Sellers over at Atlanta United who helped orchestrate this all. But we have a pair of tickets for you guys to the Delta 360 Club at Mercedes-Benz. So this is luxurious field-level seating. You've got access to the club's amenities. They are located on the visitor sideline, but it's midfield. You can actually see the players walk in and out of the locker room, private bathrooms, wow, bars, cushion seatings. It is a really bougie and nice space that is going to give you an up-close, like by midfield, view of the pitch.
The last couple times I've been Atlanta United games, I've had the Delta Club seats, and I recently got to take my best friend from college's boyfriend, and when I tell you, this guy was in awe just because these seats are so nice and you have such an incredible view of the field because you're literally on the same field level as the players. So it's almost kind of like you're there with them. You're right behind the guys that are sitting on the bench. So it's a really special experience.
Private bathrooms and private bars.
Okay,
so
that's important.
Yeah, you don't need to wait in line with everyone else. You don't need to go far away, and the seats are like luxe.
Yes.
So you guys are going to have a fantastic view of the pitch. You're going to see the players up close coming in and out, which I think is always cool to see the behind the scenes on field stuff too.
I mean, it is really, these are the seats that when you're in the stadium, you're looking down, you're like, oh my God, who sits in those? And it's going to be you. And they are like,
I can't thank you guys enough. And this is really, really special.
Yeah, like these guys said, it's a very different experience. You can watch soccer on TV, any seat, watching Atlanta United. It's an exciting experience. But when you're on the same level as the players, you realize how skilled they are and how fast they are. Completely different experience.
Yeah, these are like the first 35 rows. So you're going to be section. And you can buy tickets, but it is an upgrade thing. So it is really a premium experience that they've gifted today.
Thank you so much. I think he's going to be so excited. He, like I said, he loves this. We haven't really been to Atlanta United. I've never been to one. So I think this is going to be really amazing, and it's way more than I was expecting. So thank you so much.
I wouldn't even,
love it.
If you really want to do this right, I wouldn't even tell him that you got these tickets. Say, you know what?
I know, no idea.
No, tell him I scrapped together a couple of coins and I bought these tickets. And then when you get to the stadium, go to the nosebleeds and then look at your tickets and go, ah, dang it, I'm in the wrong section. And then start working your way down to these seats.
He would love it. He would love it even if it was the nosebleeds, but he is going to be ecstatic about this. It's really going to make his entire summer.
Well, I can hear you lighten up. Thank you very much for emailing us. We appreciate it. He certainly sounds like he deserves it. So we got you, okay? So we'll put you on hold, give you all the info. Have a great time at Atlanta United, okay?
Thank you so much.
And again, a big thank you to Atlanta United for hooking us up. Whenever we call, man, they're just like, all right, what does he need? And if you can tell us what you need in big ways and in small ways, we're going to continue this for 100 days. Good goes round. Go to theburtshow.com.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Show.
I have a moral question for us to chew on here when it comes to plastic surgery. Cassie, get in on this, okay? So I had some random thoughts the other day. You know, we were talking about Kylie Jenner. People are praising her lately.
Yeah, people are really praising Kylie Jenner for kind of being the first Kardashian to be like really, really open about their plastic surgery. Normally, like they'll say things, well, I just got filler, or, you know, I didn't get any plastic surgery. Whereas recently a TikToker asked Kylie for her exact boob job formula. And she not only responded with the size of her implants, she said where the implants got put in. It's like half under the muscle, whatever that means. And she even told us where she got her plastic surgery done with a guy named Dr. Garth Fisher, who I have heard has received an obscene amount of requests for the Kylie Jenner special.
I can only imagine. Sure. Garth was already living a good life. Yeah. If he was doing plastic surgery on a Kardashian, now he's living an even better life.
I appreciate it. I think it was yesterday he came out and he said the same thing. Kristen said, hey, pump the brakes. I want your money, but all bodies are different. So what works for Kylie is not going to work for you. Not here nor there. So I sent you guys a link to a People magazine article. Now, Kylie has been very open about her surgery, but take a look at her picture before all of her surgery and what she looks like now.
Yeah, I've seen this a million times. I mean, it's very obvious that something was done.
Right. She's not an unattractive woman, but she doesn't look like the current Kylie Jenner.
Oh, no, she looks like a completely different person.
Very, very different. Oh. I mean, it's obvious work was done.
Right.
So, my favorite is when they take the Kardashian photos of what they used to look like and then age them as to what they would look like now if they hadn't got anything done.
Right.
That is fascinating.
All right, so there's no escaping for Kylie, like when she starts dating somebody, what she used to look like and what she looks like now. Here is my question for you guys, right? Let's take Kylie out of it and just say she's, I don't know, Kylie Jones, okay? And she starts dating a guy, and they get very, very serious. They are starting to talk about getting engaged. Then they get married, or they're about to get married. Does she have a moral obligation before she gets married, and they've already talked about having kids, to tell him and show him what she looked like prior to getting all of this plastic surgery done, so he has a better grip on what these kids, them kids, might look like if they have children?
Please tell me you're joking.
No,
I'm
he's not
joking.
A man sued his wife over this.
You're
that
was a
kidding.
Hoax.
Was it a hoax?
Yeah,
it was on credible news sites, so you're not wrong, but they later went and backtracked. It was a Chinese man, and they said that he won for $120,000 after the birth of his daughter, but it was later confirmed to be a hoax.
Let's play it out, though. Right. Do you have a moral obligation? And I thought, look, I was looking yesterday for the male equivalent, and let's just say as sort of an extrapolation, a very extraordinary example. As a guy that's 5'4" myself, that 4 is very important there, and I almost left it off. As a guy that's 5'4", let's say I went for that very exotic leg lengthening surgery. And by the time I got done healing, I was nearly 6 feet tall. Women are all over me, right? So before and then somebody falls in love with me and we are talking about having kids and we are talking about our future together. Do I have a moral obligation to say to her, I just want to let you know my real height is 5'4"?
I guess my thing is, if you were really going to be with someone and get married to them, I would just expect those conversations to have come up. And if, well, here's the thing, and it's not even the fact that you got that surgery. I would be upset that you didn't trust me enough to really put your full self out there, and I would feel like I didn't know you and wonder what else you were hiding. It's not so much the fact that you don't look the same and that you got the surgery. It's that you lied to me about it for this extent, and I was about to marry someone I didn't know.
It also feels like a breeding question. Like, it feels like I'm shopping for a dog and I'm looking for certain traits or qualities in these dogs. If I'm going to have kids with somebody I love, I would hope that the last thing on my mind is how are these kids coming out, unless it has something to do with their health or a genetic predisposition I might need to know about. I would hope as a mom, their height or the way their face looks is the last thing on my mind.
I'm wondering if we're being very PC here, because the heightening question would be really kind of targeted at you. You have said that, you know what, your preference, just not short guys, right? So you fall in love with a guy that's 5'11", 6', 6'2", or whatever, and he tells you, just want to let you know, our kids are going to be teeny, because you're teeny too, and he's 5'4". That doesn't change things for you?
No, because the reason women like tall guys is because it's like a romantic attraction or a romantic connection. I could care less if my kids come out 5'1", 5'2", 5'3", because those are going to be my kids. And I'd like to think I'm not particularly PC about most things. For me, when it comes to having kids, I feel like that needs to be the most selfless thing you ever do. It needs to be an overflow of the love you have for the other person. And if that, if the person I'm getting married to decided to have height lengthening surgery, then that's for them to decide. But I don't think it would implicate how I would feel about our kids together.
No. It wouldn't implicate how you feel about your child. You're going to love your child regardless. It's going to change how you feel about your spouse, because you know the hurdles that short men have in the dating world. So he did this, didn't tell you. And no, you're going to love your child regardless. Absolutely. But now he might have a harder time dating because he's shorter and your husband wasn't honest because he had the leg lengthening surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of what you're getting at?
I'm not getting at anything. I just wanted to throw it at you guys.
I mean, I'm with Cassie. I just think all that stuff, like, you know, it feels like a full disclosure kind of thing. I don't know why you wouldn't have shared that, because you're going to like see it just because I don't think it's weird. I don't think it should be a big deal, but I think it should be shared.
Like, I think as a general rule, dudes are more superficial than women are.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if guys are being honest, if they're dating what they consider to be a completely and total hottie, right? That when she shows you what she really looks like, I think that he probably has an obligation to not look like an a-hole and go, oh, it doesn't matter to me, honey. But I wonder if he really judges that.
Of course. I think anyone would. I mean, that's why people get plastic surgery, and everyone has their own biases and what they like and what they don't like. So I think they would. The big thing for me is, if you are going to have kids, let's say like you had a defining feature that got you bullied. Like, I knew someone who had their ears pinned because they stuck out,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have kids. I want to know that is something I need to be prepared for with my child.
Right.
It's not going to change me wanting to have kids and being in love with you, but I'm going to be mad if we have a kid and they've got something they're going to be bullied over, and I wasn't prepared to like deal with that. And I still have a few years before they get into school, but I want to be the best mom possible for my kid. And you've withheld information that could be damaging to my child. Mm. And now I'm mad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, that all of that makes total sense.
Yeah, I like that explanation more than, I need to tell my husband that I used to have a busted nose because our daughter might not be hot enough. What an odd thing to consider. That my husband might not be attracted to our daughter. Like, that's so bizarre to think about.
But with your nose job, you generally look like the same person.
I think I look a little different. I look fairly different.
You look more similar to Abby than Kylie Jenner looks to Kylie Jenner.
For sure, okay.
That's the thing with your nose, like, because I've seen the before and after, and yes, it is different, but not so much. I mean, the dudes in here didn't even notice. Like, that is not something I would feel.
Right.
I would disclose because they were my partner, but I wouldn't feel like you had to disclose, because I don't know if you ever got bullied for your nose, but to me, your nose looked fine.
No, I mean, I never got bullied for it, but the whole ear thing makes sense to me. Like, our kid might be bullied for this. That's something I went through. Mm-hmm. That's you sharing a personal experience. Kylie Jenner, I mean, he's going to know. Timothy Chalamet is going to know what she looks like, because you can't get rid of these photos from the internet. But I don't know. There is something a little icky about being like, you weren't as hot before. See, I need to know now.
Yeah, it does reek of like, if you weren't hot before, I don't want to have kids with you, because then our kids aren't going to be hot.
That's what I'm hearing.
That's the vibe.
And I'm getting the ick.
Yes.
If I'm being honest with you.
As you should.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm glad we're just on the same page about that.
Yeah.
The Burt Show.
Hi, Jackson. I've got an assignment for you this morning, my friend.
Oh, boy.
Jackson is going into a very, very monumental, huge weekend.
Then why are you putting more on this man's plate?
I'm about to save him.
Okay.
But it is a stress-filled weekend for you, because there's a lot on the line.
Thanks for putting all that in my head.
I'm sure you haven't thought of that at all.
He's like, I was totally chill before until now.
I honestly have been kind of downplaying it in my head, but when you put it that way, it puts a little bit of pressure on. But what he's talking about is, I'm going to be asking my girlfriend's parents for their blessing for us to get married. And that is going down this weekend, specifically tomorrow morning.
That's so exciting.
It is exciting. And they already dig you. So there's not really that much on the line.
Yeah. I have no reason to think that they would say no or react adversely to it.
What if this is the conversation where it comes out that they actually have secretly hated you this whole time? And this is their last ditch effort. You're sitting across from them at coffee and they're like, we've really held this in for a long time. We can't.
Or maybe even more possible, okay. Would be something like, we do love you, but we just have a couple of concerns.
That I could see as maybe valid.
What do you think would be their concerns?
I think, again, that they definitely want to make sure that I am providing enough for her in the relationship. I don't know if they would come at me from like a financial standpoint or something. They would never do this. I'm just, spitballing here. But again, I don't think they really would.
I don't think so either. Here's what I would like to do, though, because I think you have to choose your words fairly carefully this weekend when you're talking to them, right?
Of course.
So let's get you a safety net. What I would like you to do for the show, like in the next 30 minutes, is I would like you to write out what you are prepared to say to them, right? And then I would like you to enter all the info and get as granular as you can with ChatGPT, and then we will compare the two conversations.
Okay, so you want me to make a prompt for myself, yep, of exactly what I want to say and then prompt ChatGPT to do the same.
Exactly. You're going to be your authentic self. You're just putting it down on paper just so it's in your heart and it's in your soul on what you're going to say. And then put down all the info that you want about you and your girlfriend, her parents, you, and let's see what ChatGPT says you should say compared to what you're going to say.
Oh my God, I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm a parent and you have used ChatGPT to ask me for your blessing, it's an automatic no.
Okay, but to add another level to this.
Oh boy.
You're going to do this, and you're going to come in and read both of them, but you're not going to tell us which one is you. Whoa. And which one is ChatGPT.
And then we're going to pick our favorite one and decide which is better.
That's good.
All right. I'm not concerned. I think I could body ChatGPT on this one.
And to Cassie's point, this is what I think ChatGPT and AI is good at, is helping you. If you were to read it word for word by ChatGPT, 100% offended. But I think we're going to start living in a world here where you're running everything through a ChatGPT or an AI filter where it's giving you ideas. It doesn't have your heart, but it's giving you ideas and keeping you on the right path.
So lazy. I mean, for people who really like have trouble public speaking or having those convos, for sure, it's a tool. Jackson is a very smart, educated Georgia Tech alumnus. I think you should not have any issues talking. You don't need a robot to ask. If you cannot man up and ask your girlfriend's parents for their blessing without the help of a robot, maybe you shouldn't be getting married.
All I'm saying is book smarts and emotional smarts are two different things.
That I got both. Fair. Don't worry.
All right, so that is your assignment.
Okay, sounds good.
The Bird Show.
I am on a roll with the youth group this morning because now, Abby, I turn to you.
Okay.
You said something the other day, man, and I think you are missing an opportunity, a money-making opportunity. Tell us again about the situation you found yourself in a bar when you were helping a dude out approach another woman.
Yeah, so I was out on a little solo date in Buckhead the other day, and these three guys who are a couple years younger than me approached me, and they invited me out. They said, do you want to come hang out with us? And so I took them to one of my favorite spots in Buckhead Village, and there was a group of girls out taking some photos, looking real cute. And one of the guys was like, I want to approach them, but I just don't know how to do it without coming off creepy. And so I coached him through it. I told him exactly what to do, and it worked out.
Look, this is every dude's dream right here, to have a best friend or a female hitch right next to them, telling them exactly what to do. You gave him one amazing nugget on how to break the ice, didn't you?
Yeah, so basically they were all taking photos of each other. They were all dressed up. It was very clear they were going to go out and have themselves a night. And I told him, I looked him in the eye and I said, I have been at that group of girls before. I know exactly how they're feeling. I know exactly what they want to happen tonight. They just want to be validated that they're attractive. Doesn't matter what kind of guy you are. They just want a man to approach them and say, we were worth approaching. So all you got to do is just go up very nicely. It's not going to come off creepy. And just say, I saw you guys taking photos. Would you like a group photo? One of them, I guarantee you, is going to give you the photo or give you the phone to take a photo. And that's a great way to get a conversation started.
So I heard that and I went home. And you know me, I'm always looking at ways to scale things, right? So I don't know what the idea is. Cassie, get in on it here. So I just feel like there's a money-making opportunity here for you to for guys that are so confused when they go to bars or how to approach women, for you to be their best friend for the night and guide them and make cash at it.
Dude, I mean, this was the movie Hitch. Yeah, right. This is like Will Smith helping out. What was his name?
Kevin James.
Yes. And you like go out and you help dudes approach, you know, women. Uh-huh. And you are the female Hitch.
The female Hitch, and also Ryan Gosling from Crazy Stupid Love. Did you guys see that?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, help out Steve Carell's character and like show him how to dress, how to get the women. I feel like I could be like a rehabilitation center
for guys
who don't have the confidence to make it happen in their love lives.
Well, see guys here, and it's funny that these movies are made with guys giving guys advice. I think what's missing here is a woman that has experience and is good at it. I've seen you out in the wild when you get a couple of drinks in you when we were in San Diego, and I took you to a very intimidating spot, which is a place, my favorite bar in the world is Lahaina, filled with locals. I mean, and all the best looking dudes in San Diego are there, and there's Abby like right in the mix, man, goes right up to him. You happen to find a couple of guys that were from the South.
Who knew my dad. was like, dad. Literally, how did this happen? Of all the people to approach, clearly Atlanta guys are my type. But yeah, desperation is the perfect fuel to get you to approach somebody. But some guys don't have that gear in them. And I think they need the permission of another woman, another like socially conscious woman, to give them the go ahead that what they're doing isn't creepy.
I think you could do a 2-pronged approach to this. I think you could film a series of like small tips and tricks, like behind a paywall, like the one where offer to take a photo, and then people could hire you for an in-person one-on-one consultation where you go out.
Wait, I kind of love this because I'm like, I want to start some kind of like series with the subscription stuff on Instagram, but I'm like, I don't know what I can offer. I feel like this might be my niche because it doesn't get more judgmental than Abby Murphy. So I'm going to be the perfect person to lay it out to you straight.
I just want to emphasize to you as a guy that used to be out there and terrified to approach women that having a best girlfriend by your side or somebody that you hired that can read the room, because it's going to be different. The way you're going to approach women is going to be different depending on the women, right? Guys, we don't know. We got one take. We got one thing that works, maybe, and we keep trying it over and over again. So the relief that we would have to have someone like you by our side, that's scalable.
Yeah, you're not a matchmaker. You're not a life coach. You're a dating consultant.
I'm a dating consultant. Or I don't even think it has to go as far as dating. Like, I'm just the get the balls to approach a woman coach.
When I say dating, it's not like you're in a relationship. You're a date consultant.
Yes, I am a consultant to make sure that you can get to the first date at the very least.
There you go.
I think that there are other dating coaches. I just don't know, and I didn't Google it, if there are services where she goes out with the guy and says, okay, let's practice tonight, right? And you would be that person.
I'd be happy to do it. And if somebody for 100 days of good, that the thing that we've been doing for the last 3 months, I would love to do it for free for you. Maybe like you're the free trial and I suss out my business model. Also doing some good for 100 days of good. Maybe I'll post my Venmo online and see who's interested. We'll see who bites.
What's your promo code? Get laid.
And I wonder if this works, if there's still an opportunity, like even in with guys that are in relationships that don't know how to communicate with their women, and when situations come up and they don't have anybody to talk to that has a woman's perspective, maybe that's the second part of it.
I need to start an OnlyFans for this. You can pay to chat with me and ask your questions about your lady, and I will make sure that your relationship doesn't come to a crashing and burning end.
So how do we start this like next week if we're serious about doing it?
I don't know. We might have to brainstorm after this. I'll consult my people. I'll consult ChatGPT.
The consultant needs to consult with other consultants.
Right. That's where we'll start on Monday.
We'll circle back.
Okay.
The Burt Show.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So there's this hot take that I saw on TikTok that I was kind of wondering how moms felt about, because I'm not a mom. I'm not even in the position where I can even remotely relate to this. But she said something that I felt like if I was a mom, I feel like I would be in her shoes. So this comes from a user named at Lottie.Weaver. And here is her hot mom take.
One thing I always tell my girls, and I feel like this is pretty controversial, is mommy will always take care of you. No matter how old you are, mommy will always buy you dinner. I will always take you shopping. I will even fill up your car with gas. I don't care if you're married and you have 500 children. My job, I brought you into this world, my job is to provide for you. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen? Something, she gets divorced, mommy's going to provide for you, okay? I'm not going to be like, I birthed you 18 years, see ya. No, if you're having children and you're taking on that responsibility, it is like a lifelong responsibility. And I'm hoping that my daughter has a really secure, like, relationship with her husband, because guess what? Mommy is going to be there in the back if he messes up, okay? So I would be the same if I had sons, probably, but I don't. I just have three daughters. So they will always be my little girls. I will always be providing for them. We're always going to go on shopping dates, always get our nails done, because why not?
So the reason why I resonated with this is because I've kind of been going through an existential crisis about, you know, wanting to have children and why you have kids and is it ethical to have kids? And I've always thought it was kind of a whack state of mind that, like, you bring these kids into the world because you chose to bring them into the world. And now, like, I got to pay taxes and work for the rest of my life because y'all wanted to have kids one day. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I get it. Like, I'm huge on personal responsibility. I like to think I own up to my life and my mistakes and the choices that I've made. But at the end of the day, like, I didn't consent to be here. So I think
so give me a free ride for my entire life.
I think it's kind of fair. Like, it was mom and dad's choice to bring me here. I didn't consent to this, but not in like an existential, like I'm trying to like leave type of way, but more of like, it's kind of fair.
I think the word that I'm getting hung up on is provide.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, will I always be there to support my son? Abso-freaking-lutely. In the good, the bad, you name it. Well, if we go out to dinner, will my son ever pay for a meal? Absolutely not. Because, I mean, I remember, like, any time my dad took me out for dinner or any time he took me and my husband out for dinner, whatever it was, dad always picked up the tab. Like, that's just what dad did. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where, if my child needs me, I am going to be there. But I'm also going to recognize that you need to raise a capable human being, and they're going to have to be able to be there for themselves and to provide for themselves. Yeah, if, you know, God forbid Jimmy goes through a divorce, am I going to be there to support him? Absolutely. I think it was not the message, but the delivery here with her tone that she's like, she's giving... she's giving mama boy, like we come down on mama boys all the time, right? Like, mm-hmm. The mothers that interfere so much. And she's giving that energy, but she has daughters.
Yeah. I'm getting caught up with the word provide also. And I feel like it's this kind of attitude, if you take it literally, is my beef with this generation's parents that aren't allowing their kids to flex a grit muscle, is that we're doing everything for our kids and they don't have the life skills to get through it themselves. So will I always be there physically to provide for my kids? No, there are times already that I can absolutely give them what they want, but I haven't. I will provide them guidance, but I will not provide them with the physical things that they might need that they can earn themselves.
I think for me, the word that I would look for, and this is kind of how my parents operated, and I appreciated it. It was like, once I turned 18, I was welcome to come home, but I had to pay rent. But I knew there was always a safety net. So if things got really bad, mm-hmm. or I was in dire straits, I knew that they would be there to help me pick up the pieces, but I was expected mm-hmm. to function on my own. And that's how I want to handle it. So that's what I see as her version of providing. It's like, yeah, I will literally always be the safety net for my kids.
Sure.
If they can't figure it out themselves, but I expect them, especially as adults, to figure it out themselves first. But that said, I will absolutely go on shopping trips with my adult daughter and buy her presents because I love her. But should it be an expectation of something, I'm going to fund your entire wardrobe? No. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but if your definition is, look, I didn't choose to be here, so you guys should give me everything I want just because it was your decision, I don't necessarily.
No, I'm just giving you something to chew on. I don't necessarily agree with it either, but I'm kind of like, you brought me into this world, you got to keep me in it too.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Okay, we're going to get to this Diddy story in just a second about how a judge almost kicked him out of the courtroom. But I did see something get posted on Instagram over the break about the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives reunion that is going to come out pretty soon. Some photos just dropped from the set. It's going to be hosted by The Bachelor's Nick Viall. And there is one Mormon wife who is not showing up to the reunion.
Who?
Do you want to guess?
Sure. Who wouldn't show
Debbie.
Up?
Who?
Debbie.
I don't watch the show.
Oh. Jen.
I thought I just had a stroke. I'm like, did I miss half the season? Jen will be there.
Who's the one that...
Matilda. Matilda will not be there, but not because she is... There's any drama.
There is no Matilda.
There's just no Matilda.
Who is the one that I stopped watching just as the rumors were starting to come out that he cheated on her one time?
Demi and her husband are not at the reunion.
What?
Yeah. Which, if you haven't seen the show yet, is crazy because she is kind of central to all of the drama for Secret Lives of Mormon Wives this season. At one point, she tries to get Taylor, who pretty much started Mom Talk, get kicked out of the group and get kicked off the show. She was shown to be kind of a backstabber to her close friend Jesse, who's on the show, because she was apparently talking crap about her hair salon. She apparently tried to get her get kicked off the show because she wanted to get paid more than everybody else. I mean, there are so many things that came across for Demi this season that just made her look so, so bad. Yeah. And there was so much drama surrounding her that I guess maybe it was just too much and she didn't want to show up.
If you were watching the show at all, like in the very first season, this was the one couple that seemed to be the one that was so secure. They were so happy, which has always been my point also, is like the ones that have the most public polish are the ones that are most jacked up privately. Mm-hmm. So it's been shocking this year that these rumors have come out.
And it's shocking to an extent. Like there's a little bit of an age gap with their relationship.
A little bit. It's 17 years.
It's 17 years. It's a big age gap for sure. And so
it's almost an entire adult.
It's an entire adult.
Which is honestly not a problem the older you get, but like she's only 30, I think, and they met when she was way younger. And that's like, when you're in your early 20s, that's creepy to me.
I think they met, and I saw this on the internet, so it might not be fact. I read somewhere that they met when she was 9.
Oh, no.
That's disgusting.
Which just makes it so icky.
Oh, no.
I'm not trying to judge. Love comes in all different forms. You can't choose who you love. But I could not envision meeting a 9-year-old boy and then seeing that 9-year-old boy again at the age of 25 and being like, dang, you hot. In my head, you are always 9. Uh-huh. You are the age that I met you for the rest of your life.
The grossest scenario I could think of is if there was a sister of a Burt's Big Adventure kid that went on the trip and then later on in life I fell in love with her.
Oh, stop. I'm nauseous.
I hate hypothetical me.
It's like, it's icky and it feels so morally wrong to even like spin hypotheticals.
Yeah. So we're going to move on from the story because now I'm a little queasy.
Well, now I'm glad they're not showing up. Get out of here, Brett.
Get him off the show.
It really is. I can't urge you guys enough not to watch this show.
Watch it.
Don't watch it. Of any reality TV show, this is the one that's designed on each and every scene to draw drama. And at some point or another, it just gets to be too much.
That's why I like it, because you know it's fabricated. One of the ones where you can clearly see the producers pulling strings and you know every word coming out of their mouth is fake. So when I watch it, I feel like I'm watching a fictional TV show about a reality TV show.
Of anybody on this show, you need positivity in your soul. You should be watching Love on the Spectrum every single night.
I like watching other people's lives fall apart. It makes me feel better about my own, okay?
It's infuriating to watch. So if you have the emotional capacity, definitely watch it. It's a good time, but it is also heinous TV. It is terrible scene. It is the worst seeing these women treat each other this way. Okay, back to Diddy, because the judge in the trial threatened to kick him out of the courtroom all because of one thing he did during somebody's testimony. So during Diddy's sex trafficking and racketeering trial, things were getting a little tense because he almost got kicked out. This time, it was while Brianna Bongolan was on the stand. She was testifying about some really serious allegations, including one that Diddy once dangled her off a balcony and did something. You can fill in the blanks there. As she spoke, Diddy kept nodding pretty dramatically toward the jury. So he's like looking at the members of the jury.
Oh, nodding his head no?
Like nodding up and down. Almost like he was trying to sway them or signal that he agreed with certain parts. So it is weird because this person is testifying against him about these allegations. And the reports are coming out that he is nodding like up and down, yes, trying to sway their opinion for something.
Is it like a threat? Kind of like nodding like, yeah, I'm going to do it to you too?
Well, the judge saw it and basically warned Diddy to cut it out and basically made it clear that he felt like Diddy was trying to influence the jury pretty much just by trying to communicate non-verbally. So we weren't in the courtroom. I don't really understand why he was nodding, but for whatever he was nodding and making eye contact with them for, it's almost like it's a level of intimidation towards the jury.
There are so many probably little itty bitty things when you're doing a case like this and you're on a jury that to the naked eye that's not in this industry wouldn't even see. But a judge saw it and it was a major red flag.
They're really cracking down because remember we had that one woman get kicked out for having a little bit of a fit about Diddy, and now Diddy's almost getting kicked out of his own trial.
It looks like they're trying to do everything in their power to make sure there's no grounds for a mistrial.
Exactly. All right, Halle Berry's boyfriend proposed to her and she hasn't given him an answer yet. I'm going to explain why on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.